The Yanish campaign operates out of a converted canary yellow Victorian mansion just south and east of Minneapolis downtown skyscrapers. It's open, it's airy, it's a little creaky, and Rebecca Yanish seems as happy to discuss her choice of headquarters as her candidacy.
Okay, yes, we're in a very non-traditional campaign headquarters. We're in the old Hinkle Murphy house on the edge of downtown in the Elliott Park neighborhood. My very first job was in the Elliott Park neighborhood in Minneapolis, and I certainly wanted to bring our campaign team to this headquarters to, again, continue to have roots in the neighborhoods.
That very first job was as a temporary finance clerk with the Minneapolis Housing and Redevelopment Authority. 26 years later, Yanish would return as the executive director of that institution, renamed the Minneapolis Community Development Agency. But her development background and quirky headquarters choice are not the only things to distinguish Yanish. Most notably, she's the only her in a crowd of hims.
Gender is an obvious difference, but I do believe it is my other life experiences that will, again, give me the perspective on education, healthcare, affordable housing. So it's not just, you know, that I am a woman, because obviously that's a big part of who I am, but also the skills, the talents, the background that I bring to this race that are very important as distinguishing myself from the other candidates.
Yanish downplays the gender card, but it's subtly woven throughout her campaign. She married early and divorced early, and the story of the candidate giving birth without the benefit of health insurance and as a single mother working her way through the University of North Dakota has proven too potent for the campaign to resist. At nearly every public appearance, Yanish reminds potential voters she has not just studied their problems, she's lived them. Meanwhile, the campaign de-emphasizes other aspects of her past. She was born on a family farm, but a fairly prosperous one that, by her own reckoning, covered more than 3,000 acres in the fertile Red River Valley. But she says she didn't lean on her family for support in the years after her daughter was born.
The reality still was I had 6 siblings still at home, and you know, I knew I needed to, you know, do this on my own.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Love you both. It's 10 to 12. Hey, I'm Rebecca. How you doing?
On the 4th of July, Yanish, along with the other DFL candidates, worked the crowd during a parade in Forest Lake. She moved along the route asking for votes, shaking hands, and drawing the attention of supportive women and men along the way. Gustavus Adolphus political science professor Chris Gilbert says Yanish has really begun to pick up steam since she announced her candidacy last February.
I think she was really struggling to find her voice, to figure out how to say what she wanted to say. The fact that she's the only woman in the DFL party for years has wanted to put a woman back in Washington, you know, I think that appeals to a lot of people inside the party. So I'm pleased that she's making such a good showing. I think she's improved a lot as a candidate.
On the campaign trail, Yanish emphasizes family and social issues. She's presented detailed proposals for reducing prescription drug prices, called for expanding children's health care coverage, and participated in the Million Mom March against gun violence in Washington, D.C. last spring. But her area of professional expertise is urban development and finance. As head of the MCDA, Yanish said her first priority was to set clear goals for the agency.
To increase the affordable housing options, to remediate more of the old industrial polluted lands, actually to triple the production of cleanup on those lands, and also to concentrate on good quality job opportunities for Minneapolis residents.
Yanish proudly says she hit all of her targets. Minneapolis Mayor Sharon Sells Belton and most city council members give Yanish high marks for her tenure with the MCDA. Sells Belton was an early supporter of Yanish's campaign, although she followed the party endorsement when it went to rival DFLer Jerry Janicich. But despite nearly unanimous praise for her competence and skill, at least a couple of Minneapolis officials believe Yanish came down on the wrong side of several political questions. Councilmember Jim Nyland chairs the council's Community Development Committee. He says despite Yanish's claims, affordable housing initiatives fared poorly under her watch.
We had a coalition of affordable housing activists that put forward a bunch of realistic proposals for what we could do to address the affordable housing crisis in the city, and the MCDA was not supportive of those proposals or a strong affordable housing policy. In fact, during her administration at the MCDA, we actually lost more affordable housing units rather than gain them, as we should be doing to deal with the crisis.
Yanish supporters say it's unfair to blame her for a slide in affordable housing. They say a tangle of federal and state agencies often frustrated city efforts, but Nyland, who supports Janicich, says Yanish also obstructed union organizing efforts while negotiating development deals. Former Congressman Tim Penny, however, doesn't see any flaws in her DFL credentials.
You can have people on both extremes that shout at the top of their lungs that it's my way or no way, and we usually end up going nowhere. And clearly, she's a good Democrat in terms of her inclinations to work with and get the best deal she can for those constituencies that our party always fights for. But in the final analysis, you've got to work out the best deal you can and move ahead.
Penny was himself considered a front-runner for the U.S. Senate race before his abrupt departure from the contest last winter. He has since come aboard the Yanish campaign as a co-chairman. Yanish has also picked up the endorsement of former Secretary of State Joan Grow and has attracted national support from Emily's List, an organization providing financial help to female candidates who favor abortion rights, all of which could make her a serious match for Graham's, if she survives the DFL primary. At the Capitol, I'm Michael Koo, Minnesota Public Radio.